It's got a death curse.
So it's bothering me like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Roadkill all over Texas. Natural order thing.
Get Viggo fucking Mortensen's in this movie?
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to say,
he's Viggo!
Yes.
Looks like you had a little mishap.
This is why modern horror films just don't work, because we have fuel-injected cars
and cell phones!
Yeah.
Hey, Ted.
This is still a kid.
Yippee-yay.
Jesus Christ, just kill him. Just hit him with a rock, something. Put that guy out of his fucking misery. And he comes to it, he's aware. He's fucking aware.
Hey, baby, I only got one thing to say to you. You know what that is? I don't like the tone of your voice.
See that look? That was the look I had. That was the look I had when the credits rolled. I'm like, what the fuck did I just watch? Chaos. Delivered to chaos. That's the element that I like right there.
Get the bitch! Get the bitch!
Can I play with madness?
Playing with madness indeed. This is Cash Wampum welcoming you back to the Horror 101 show. And the buzz is back, my friends. Continuing our threequel podcast for you, we're going back to 1990 this time with Jeff Burr's second sequel to Tobe Hooper's infamous Chainsaw Foundation. You're about to join the world-famous Brian Stewart, cult sensation Nick McPherson, and myself as we give the Horror 101 treatment to Leatherface, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. But before we put on our flesh masks and rev up our saws, some of you might be interested to know that there's someone out there accusing us of cheating.
That's preposterous. Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
Awesome.
It certainly is.
We were accused of cooking our fucking books by some fucking asshole. I couldn't believe it. Somebody on Reddit actually made a brand new username.
Yeah, throwaway account.
That was called Q for Cash. So basically, question for cash. Basically saying that, okay, you only have this many people on Facebook, you only got this many people following you on Twitter, and you only got this many followers on Podomatic. How the fuck are you getting this many hits? And I'm thinking to myself, well, it's a good question, but nobody's fucking F5-ing the fucking thing all day.
You can't.
It's the silent majority. Most of the people listening to the show don't bother to comment. They just keep tuning in.
You know, we're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. We got an RSS feed that goes to several different locations. You don't have to just get the show on Podomatic. I didn't even reply to the guy. I was so pissed off. I'm like, what the fuck? In 6 years, nobody's even come close to suggesting this. So I just screenshotted it, put it on Facebook, and I'm like, here, it's an open letter now. Fuck this guy. What do you guys think? And that's basically, I didn't reply to him. I just screenshotted it, and I put it, I'm saying, you know what? Obviously, this guy's lurking, so here, he's going to see this. Fuck him.
Rival Podomatic competition.
I'm thinking to myself, is this somebody who's got a show that's not doing so well?
There's a shit ton of podcasts and crap like that that I listen to or go to, and I don't subscribe, or I don't, you know, like, there's such a thing as passive media. Like, you don't have to
sign up. No, you have to click on everything.
I know, it's like, God, could you imagine what the world would look like if it was mandatory that everybody had to sign up and register? Like,
The guy's like, you know, you're advertising 1,500 hits on AdvertiseCast. The only reason AdvertiseCast is there is because it was 2 minutes to set it up and say, okay, this is how many shows. Okay, I'll offer you $10 for this or whatever. Go ahead, go. And nobody's hit it. Nobody's hit it. And he's like, well, 1,500. You know, you think that's wise in the community? You know, making artificial numbers.
Who the hell is this guy? How about tell us your name and I'll talk to you.
I looked at the numbers. Ghostwatch has over 3,000 hits.
Really?
And all of our
that was a great movie.
Every show that we've had after Ghostwatch is up over 2,000. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm reading this and I'm reflecting. I'm like, fuck, we're selling ourselves short. I'm still advertising. We're getting 1,500 hits, and it's more like 2,000 or more. And people have always got on my case. Why don't you monetize the show? Why don't you monetize the show? I'm like, because I'm not looking to fucking get rich off the show. I have a passion to want to create something, and this is my outlet
it's
for the time being.
It's a labor of love.
Yeah, it's our little postcard to the horror community. Yeah, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. And no, we're not cheating. We don't know where the hits come from, but
we're grateful for the hits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep tuning in. We love you, whoever you are.
Yeah.
Can I play with madness?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. The Buzz is back. Directed by Tobe Hooper.
So I end up doing my homework for tonight's show.
Ooh.
I don't know how I got the time.
You watched two?
Yeah, I watched part two last night. For the first time, I'd never seen part two before.
Still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I didn't have time. Too busy leveling.
One was disturbing enough, and there were things about one that really bothered me, like the interior of the house when they go into, you know, not the kill room where they have the ramp to the sliding door, but the next room over, the sitting room,
yes,
where they had, like, furniture made out of chicken bones and shit. There's all the feathers on the ground. It just made me sick to look at, you know? It's just so unsanitary and so gross and so grimy. And I thought, okay. So I thought I've seen the first one 5-6 times, you know? And I thought, okay, I have a pretty good idea what number two must be like.
No, you don't.
I couldn't have been more wrong.
Dog Wheel Hunt! Get that bitch! Leatherface, get that bitch! Dog Wheel Hunt!
I don't know what it is about Tobe Hooper and chaos. It's not just that it's chaotic and just pure insanity, but the details he selects are like prime cut insanity. Like, they're the choicest, most insane things he could have possibly come up with to make your fucking skin crawl.
In the second movie, you lost the hitchhiker, but you gained Chop Top.
Yeah.
You had the older brother who was kind of running the show. You had Leatherface, who was basically the tank. And they moved their operation underground underneath some sort of dilapidated funhouse or park or something.
It was
like
Texas Funland or something. Yeah.
You know, they kind of, so
it's,
it was
not
like
very fun.
They're in hiding.
There's an oxymoron.
You know what? The set design for that underground Funland park reminded me of Nothing But Trouble.
Oh, God.
You remember that set design?
No, fuck you for reminding
Dark,
me.
Dark, horrible whimsy. That's what it is.
Fuck you for reminding me.
That's the feeling
Nothing
I
But
had.
Trouble. That movie was terrible.
That's one of the worst movies, but still, that movie made your fucking skin crawl.
And Dennis Hopper, of all fucking people, Dennis Hopper is the star of this movie.
Really?
I'm the Lord of the Harvest.
Who's that? Some new health food bunch?
You should have never done this, boys. You should have never done this. It's worth watching.
The way he leaps into that pit was a good shot.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It doesn't feel like a movie that was scripted. It feels like, here's your character's motivation, and just go nuts, and we'll just film whatever the fuck happens.
Chainsaw 2 was made possible by a small film production company called Canon, and if you've never heard of them, shoot on over to IMDb and check out their catalog of films. They somehow got Tobe Hooper to come back 10 years after the original to make the sequel, and got Tom Savini to do the gore effects. They had one request from Hooper: make the film 90 to 100 minutes long. That's it. After submitting it to the MPAA and getting an X rating, they said, fuck it, release it unrated. People are going to come see it anyway, those brilliant, crazy bastards.
When Andy Serkis gets eaten by the banana slugs in King Kong, I thought that was the worst death I'd ever seen. There is one to top it all. The most suffering bastard in film is the station manager for Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. That poor fucking bastard. I'm like, Jesus Christ, just die. Just fucking die. Put him out of his misery, somebody, dear God, please.
Leatherface cuts his face off, and he's
cuts his leg skin off, like peels his leg off, peels all his skin up here off because we think he's dead.
He's flaying him.
He's been clubbed to death, and he's flaying him. And just when you think he's dead, she comes over to check on him, wearing his face, because Leatherface puts his face on her. She goes to see him, and he coughs and starts to come to while he's half flayed. I'm like, Jesus Christ, just kill him. Just hit him with a rock, something. Put that guy out of his fucking misery. And he comes to it, and he's aware. He's fucking aware, partially brain dead from all the clubbing he took over the head.
Ah, looks bad. Sure burned my beans bad on that one.
I found it both fascinating and captivating, but I can't say I actually enjoyed it. It couldn't take my eyes off it, but it wasn't something that I would say I enjoyed watching.
And that's Kane Hodder.
Oh, really?
That's Kane Hodder playing Jason, or playing Leatherface in that film.
With a mullet.
Nice.
What the hell?
So part three, bit of a history on this one. Part three came out 1990, the same year as Exorcist 3. Came out early. It was in January. I remember
where movies go to die.
Yes. I remember Derek Cookson's dad agreed to take us over to the States to watch it because we were 14 and it was rated R. We couldn't watch it in Windsor, right? So he's like, okay.
Right.
So he told us this around Christmas time. Well, it comes out a couple weeks later. He does an about face. He's like, he had a bout of conscience. It's like, no, I can't bring these 14-year-olds over to the States to watch this film. He could have. Because he was the guardian, you can do that in the States, right?
Yes,
right. Yeah. He's like, yeah, it ain't happening now. And Derek and I were so pissed off. We're like, oh, we were finally going to see a rated R flick at the show. It was going to be great. And the carpet was pulled out from under us.
This is Ken Forey, and you're listening to Horror 101.
I think there was a conscious decision to take a lot of elements from the first movie and put it back into another story. Alter the family a bit, give us a little bit more gore, not as much gore as part two, but it's almost like a retelling of the first one.
Yeah.
Let's go to the beginning. So you got two people on a driveway across town, or across the country, excuse me, and they fall afoul of these fucking people. You know, they get they meet up for gas, right? They meet up a brother at gas. They get targeted.
Well, looks like you had yourself a little mishap here.
We hit a little animal on the road.
Oh. Who's we?
Friend and I.
There's roadkill all over Texas. Natural order thing.
Can Viggo fucking Mortensen's in this movie?
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to say,
he's Viggo!
Yes.
There's one thing that Texas Chainsaw movies really hate, apparently, after watching 2 and now 3. They hate their yuppie teenage white bread, you know, people.
Say boy!
Yeah, they don't like the wealthy, well-to-do types. Especially the arrogant, you know, like I say, you know, like the prep school alpha type, Revenge of the Nerd type, alpha jock type. And they hate those.
And as soon as he would, like, he's thinking back, okay, this guy's a fucking killer. You guys didn't know this at the beginning, but Tex is a killer. He's part of the family. Yeah. You guys don't know that. But he's condescending to this guy the whole fucking way.
Look, man, I'm just trying to get home.
Yeah, I understand you're trying to get home. But listen to me. We can't help you, okay? I'm sorry.
Being a smartass, condescending to him, sorry I can't help you, just go away kind of deal. And that was probably the moment there where he's like, this is the fucking clown we're going to get. You know what I mean? Yeah, this clown and this old lady, there's the one I'm going to get.
Hey, get it. Yeah, get your kid. $5. It's only $5. It's a good picture. What do you say? $3.69, okay, just for you. $3.69, give it. $3.69.
No, we're in a hurry. Could you just fill it up, please?
You're in a big hurry, huh? I'm going to service you real good, man. Don't you worry about it.
Now, Chop Top is insane and very fun to watch, but there's something about Alfredo I just fucking love. I've been quoting this guy for decades. He's hilarious.
He's full power.
The murmuring lines that he has are hilarious, man.
First thing you see of him, he's like sitting there cutting up a porno mag randomly with scissors.
And then you find
all my favorites.
And just when you think that's as insane as it gets, no, he takes the cut up snippets and tapes them to the bathroom.
Ladies'
bathroom wall. Wow.
It's like, as I'm watching it too, I'm like, fuck, who is that? Who is that? Oh, it's, and then I saw Tom Everett. He's been in a whole bunch of shit.
Oh my god, he played Mr. Frost. He was in the West Wing.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was in the West Wing too.
You were from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3 to the West Wing.
Yeah.
You shut the fuck up, motherfucker, in my place. I'll do whatever I want here in my place.
What's wrong?
That contact lens for his one eye sells that character for me. It just, that weird stare of his.
You took it from me? You took it from me? Daddy's fucking whore, eh?
Folks, I think you better get your car.
What's wrong? Go. Let's go.
Get the hell out of here! Come on, give me God's gift, huh? Yes, you're a wicked family, you really, goddammit! You too good for me, huh? You too good for me? Come on, get the hell out of here! I'll take care of you! take you down right here, cowboy.
Go, 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 come on!
You here for lunch? I'll fuck you in hell!
You're gonna fuck me, baby. I know you did.
So they had the kind of mock shooting at the beginning, which was odd, because remember he was saying he shot the cowboy.
It was they have an elaborate setup to snag their people. He tries to get people to go down that road. That's their killing road, right?
Yeah.
Anybody who goes down that road's fair game. I think that's their setup. Because, okay, he made it look like he was shot.
Yeah.
So the first round in the gun was real because he took out the
back window.
Yeah. The second round
was
a blank. Either that or he fired way off.
Yeah.
And he fell and made him think like he was. He's like, okay, we'll take Buddy's road. They take Buddy's road.
Right.
And I love the scene later when they're getting away and then it's like just dusk.
Yeah.
Just dusk, and then the door rolls open. And that big-ass truck rolls out, and he's flipping with the gun. Yeah, you're gonna get it, bitch! The trap is sprung now, honey! And then it transitions into the chase. I really like that spirit.
Taking any more chances. Now you pull this car over so I can fix the goddamn tire!
I actually really liked the tire changing sequence. I thought that was a good moment. It was suspense well built. I liked the kind of squeaking, slow approach of the villain. Classic, you know, black and white film stuff, really.
Do you think it took away, like, them actually showing the braced leg coming down the road? Do you think that took away from the drama a bit?
I would prefer not to have seen so much of the brace, because they show like clear, crisp, like it's well lit. And I'm like, this is a dark night. If it was just a shadowy image of something approaching, but you couldn't quite make out what it was in the dark, I think that would have been more terrifying.
Well, when she was scanning the horizon, you could see because there's
just outside the range of the light, yeah.
There was a backlighting, and then all the shadow in the foreground. You see that about three times. The third time, you see him moving. You see him with the saw moving.
But they keep doing the close-up shot of the leg, and I wish they hadn't done that.
Agreed. I agree. I think like if you're going to set up that kind of payoff, then keep the squeaking, but don't show me what it is.
It's the perfect kind of irritation and suspense mix that you get when somebody's trying to do something practical, like he's trying to put the lug nuts onto the tire, and he's like, "I need light," but she's too worried about what's coming, so she's surveying the area, and it makes sense because she's terrified, you're going to point the light wherever the thing is, right, that's coming at you.
Yeah.
But he needs the light to work with, and so it works really well. I thought that was well choreographed. This is why modern horror films just don't work, because we have fuel-injected cars
and cell phones!
Yeah.
After narrowly avoiding the saw on the dark road, our two victims smash into a militant Ken Foray driving a Jeep. Both vehicles are incapacitated, and now all three of them are in danger.
How are you?
My name's Benny.
We gotta move, they might find us.
You people are serious.
Mister! Do you see this?
And I have to say, this is my favorite Ken Foree. Like, I loved him in Dawn of the Dead, I loved him in From Beyond, but this is my favorite Ken Foree character, is this guy right here. Because if it wasn't for this fucking guy, everyone would be dead.
Yes, and it's everyone like the part where the boyfriend or whatever is just like, no, they're hunting. Yeah, you know. Yeah. What is it, you're like a few pints short of a, you know, whatever.
Of a quart, yeah.
Of a quart, and then, but then suddenly she wakes up, no, they're hunting us. Well, shit, you people are really serious?
Yeah, when she comes to, he's like, oh, there's chainsaws and guys with guns and we gotta keep moving. Yeah, whatever. Obviously, he's dazed, he's been in a car accident, he ain't thinking right. But when she comes out of her stupor and it's like, we gotta move, they're coming for us. It's like, you fucking people are on the level. And then he sees the saw marks in the car and he's like, okay, how many are we dealing with? Now he's listening.
Yeah.
How many?
We don't know. Two, maybe more. One's on foot, and he's got that.
An awful big saw.
And I liked, you know what? It was very strange, very odd to have this scene, but to have the guy in the truck that just caused all this mayhem, who wants these people dead, taking the time to sit at the wreckage and light all those flares and have a dialogue with this guy. Like, I don't understand. Why would they do that? Because they showed the truck. We see the truck with the pelt on
but
the
but he
front
never
of it.
Saw the truck, so yeah.
We know
it's
this.
We know it's them, yeah.
Looks like you had a little mishap.
Hey, mister, I'm glad you came along. My Jeep and this car, we had
an accident. I didn't know that.
I need you to help me turn my Jeep up.
Well, what do you think all these fucking flares are for, stupid?
Why would they have that in there? Why wouldn't this guy be trying to kill them outright? Why is he toying with them? Brian Stewart.
I don't know.
No? Nick?
Well, if you can get him in the truck without a fight. Because for all he knows, he's just going to grab something out of his Jeep or whatever and get back in the truck and wait until he's lulled and then...
Go rocket, brother.
Yeah.
I when push comes to shove. Puts it into gear.
Yeah.
Don't worry about Benny, he'll be fine. Michelle and Ryan, on the other hand, not so much.
Yeah, one of the other things I liked about this one that you didn't see in the others was their kind of the surrounding area around the house had been set up as a kind of human hunting ground. Which was interesting.
Yeah, little girl trips on the lights.
Yeah.
That wasn't really seen in the previous two. I mean, the amusement park had its own kind of...
The first movie, if you remember, there was camo netting over all the cars.
Right. Yeah.
So there was some camouflage going on, and he mentioned the camo netting, but booby traps and shit like that?
Yeah.
That was the first... I don't remember any booby traps in the second one.
It's a good thing Ken Forey was a knob. You know, that house is interesting because when you first go into the house, it seems like a typical normal house until she goes upstairs into what is supposed to be the little girl's room and then, dear God.
Yeah, like, why are you trying to have a rational conversation with a little girl who's surrounded by fucking bones? Obviously, you're in the bad place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm like? Like, oh, you just lost your ex-boyfriend, friend, comrade, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Why do you open that door, see what's in there, and then go into the room?
And still have a little uchi-koo fucking conversation with this little girl that seems to be in distress. And then she fucking stabs her with a bone.
Yeah,
don't talk back.
Me and just open the door, see the room. Yep.
Yeah, I'm out.
Close the door, dump gas, light fire, leave.
That's it.
Yakety-yak, don't talk back.
Sorry about that, but looks like you had something that little mishap.
You know, you're late.
Yeah. Hmm? Well, they just get dumber and dumber. Don't they?
And there was hand trauma.
Yeah,
in both hands.
And I have to... This is the uncut version, okay, with the altered ending. I'll get to the altered ending later.
Okay.
But this is the uncut version, and the rated R version, all the hand trauma, it's like all the close-up sticky shots of her hand with the nail kind of floating around in the wound. You didn't get any of that. That was strictly for that, like, the MPAA's, like, get rid of all that.
Yeah.
Okay? You want to show them hammering it in? Fine. But her struggling and moving it around with the nail in there?
Oh! I like Texas.
So this was Kate Hodges' first film. To be honest, I don't remember her in anything else. You know, it was almost like Ashley. She reminds me a lot of Ashley Lawrence from Hellraiser. She's got
a little bit.
Long brunette hair, damsel in distress, persevering throughout the whole thing, damaged goods.
Why are you doing this?
Silly.
Ruckus, my nap is just a goner. Certainly hope you children are pleased with yourselves. Where's Junior?
Junior's been getting out of hand lately. But I got a present for him. I got a fine present. Gotta keep him in line. Yes, sir.
the only reason I can think that they called it the Excalibur
was because of the trailer.
Because of the trailer. Fucking trailer with the lady in the lake handing off the chainsaw.
It had some adornments to it that looked like a sword hilt as well as you got towards the end of the handle.
Yeah, so. The Saw's family, the nice little carvings in there. As far as chainsaws go, it's fucking sweet. Every other chainsaw that's been in the movie has just been like a style or whatever,
You know, I kind of like it looking run down, rusty, and gorish.
Like, and in the beginning, it was like that, right? Yeah. The first one he had was red or yellow, and that was it. I think the original was a Puma, and they put tape over the label because they didn't want to get sued.
Well, yeah.
So this movie gets bonus points for doing a couple of things I've always wanted to do in a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. One, which was to shoot fucking everyone I saw. And three, to set the fucking house on fire. I wanted to burn every one of those Texas Chainsaw houses to the ground, kill it with fire, until there was fucking nothing left, because I don't even want to know what the hell was in there.
Chaos delivered to chaos. That's the element that I like right there.
What the fuck?
A window to escape, and she's taking her fucking hands out of the nail.
God, that hand drama.
Oh, Brian. Yeah. So I forgot to warn you. I apologize. Tinker on the floor sees what she's up to, and he's screaming at the brother, "Get the fucking bitch! Get the bitch!" And she pulls the other one out. She's out.
You know, they're screaming, "Not the meat!
Go get the meat!
Go get the meat!"
Yeah, they're not people. They're fucking dinner. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's fucking weird.
Get the bitch!
Now, some bits of trivia. When they screen tested this film, okay, in the original, Benny died, okay? Like, you saw him get whacked. He's gone. Everyone freaked the fuck out. Everybody loved Ken Foree in this movie so much when they test screened it, they were so pissed off that his character died, they changed the ending. That was one of the big reasons why they changed the ending.
The black man lives!
All these reshoots were done with a different director, so when Jeff Burr watched this film for the first time, imagine the look on his face when the entire ending of his film was completely reshot, and he didn't know. And they put in Leatherface at the end to say, her story's done, but Leatherface's story is still going.
Yeah.
We're not putting this guy to bed. Everybody knew at the end of Chainsaw 3 that 4 was going to come. You know, and for horror fans in the 80s and 90s, that was the big thing. Will there be another one? We want another one. So to have the villain come and make an appearance at the very end of the film was like, yes! Okay, good. We got at least one more to go. This film, Neek?
I'm gonna give it an 8.
An 8?
Yeah, I was gonna go 7.5, but I really liked Ken Foree in this
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Benny saved it. Yeah, because it was a 7.5. It was a 7 originally, then it got a 7.5 for Viggo, and then it got another half point for Ken Foree. So and then I almost went a little bit higher because I'm like, shit, that guy was in the West Wing, but no. Yeah. No extra love for Tom Everett, sorry.
Hey, baby, I only got one thing to say to you. You know what that is? I don't like the tone of your voice. Fuck you, mister!
Brian Stewart.
Well, the first two movies for me were hard to watch. And like I say, I was riveted. I was glued to watching them. I couldn't stop watching them. They were compelling. But I couldn't say that I enjoyed watching them. You know, it was one of those things that were fascinating to watch, but not fun to watch.
Right.
And so the first two was experiences, it was kind of like a 5 and a 6. But the third one was actually more coherent than the first two, and I think it had a lot more to enjoy. And just for Ken fucking Foree shooting up that goddamn house and just doing what I've wanted to do for two friggin' movies. You know what? I don't think I enjoyed it quite as much as Nick. We're always off by about a half, Mark. It's a 7. Yeah. It's a 7.
You best shut up or I'll do your tongue first.
I'll give it an eight. I'd probably give it 7.5, but Ken Foree. This film originally had a sequence written where there was an unmasking. They were ready to, okay, let's unmask this guy and show everybody really how disfigured he is. Why is he wearing the mask? And for some reason, they did away with it. I forget why, but they used it in the remake, because in the remake, they take it off. And you know what? And to be honest, I thought I would have to put this in as a, this is like a cash guilty pleasure. Like, I'm going to enjoy this, and you guys didn't.
No, I didn't.
And I'm very surprised that you guys enjoyed this
right now. I like this one more than the first. For
really?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first one is low budget, slow, nihilistic. This one is... There's
some fun to it.
There's some good structure. It's more Hollywood, and it's entertaining.
Yeah,
you know, it's entertaining all throughout.
Yeah, there were laughs where I think there were supposed to be laughs, which is usually a good thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, you need that relief of tension every now and then, so you can build the tension back up again. If it's just nonstop tension, the audience breaks to the point where they stop caring.
Yeah.
So, Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, another threequel that we. All of us across the panel can promote. Watch this film, absolutely.
Thumbs up! Go to the party!
Look here, Mama. Colored drawers.
California.
And that is the end of the show. We hope you enjoyed our coverage of Jeff Burr's Leatherface, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. Another threequel we think you should get behind, starring Kate Hodge, Viggo Mortensen, R.A. Mihailoff as the menacing Leatherface, and of course, a Horror 101 favorite, Mr. Ken Foray. Be sure to join us next time for more Part 3 Madness. Visit us on Facebook, subscribe to us on Podomatic, Stitcher, and iTunes, or shoot on over to horror101.ca. We'd love to hear from you. For the world-famous Brian Stewart and the cult sensation Nick McPherson, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears.
Let me lick your tears.
Play it again. Put it on right now.
He wants to see it again. Hold on. Oh, I killed it. Hold on a second.
Mom's the first one to get it, too. Fuck that old broad.